KRCL champions building a more socially engaged Utah through locally driven programming that promotes music discovery and civic participation. Tune in to KRCL on 90.9 FM for a curated mix of music, including at least one track by a Utah artist every hour. From alternative rock to reggae, blues to bluegrass, KRCL is here to bring you the greatest bangers all day, every day.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. This is Gentry Densley from Iceburn, and my fellow bandmates are James Holder on guitar, Cash Tolman on bass, and Joseph Smith, aka Chubba, on drums. Record out, and it has been a significant amount of time, 20 years since the last one came out, since our last tour, maybe 21 since Land of Wind and Ghosts was released, which was kind of from the afterlife of Iceburn anyway. There's a certain energy and power that kind of runs through all of the music that I was attracted to initially with growing up with hardcore and punk and metal, just kind of the feeling it gives you down your spine or whatever, starting going to shows, and then you see it live and it's amplified tenfold. When I started coming across certain free jazz artists, so that, you know, you get an idea of jazz when you're a young white kid in the middle of the mountains of Utah, and then you discover, wow, you know, there's really some badass stuff out there. So I think that was really eye-opening for us, and we wanted to emulate that. There was a lot of talk of revolution and, you know, in the hardcore and punk world, of course, you had heroes like people espousing Che Guevara or these other revolutionaries, and for us, we were looking more to Miles Davis or somebody like that, or even back to Stravinsky, who revolutionized music. We saw that you could improvising, you had to be present for, it wasn't just going through the motions. Once you've learned a song and mastered it, that was always really cool when you're young. You know, it's like playing through a video game and getting everything right and getting to the next level later, kind of taking chances and wanting to be a little more free with it and see what happens, elicit reactions from your fellow bandmates and kind of sculpt the music overall as a group, kind of get into a group mind think of how can I. You don't want to force it, you know. Improvisation is kind of an art that we worked on over our 10-year arc. And you learn a lot about yourself, the other bandmates, by doing that. It's tricky, but I think that's the fun of it. You talked about the scene. I don't know. I almost feel like it became more, it's supportive and inclusive nowadays. And maybe we were just too self-indulgent or Icarian originally, just going way too far ahead of where anybody wanted to be in that scene. But we've also, you know, realized what works in a live setting and what works for us, and maybe have the audience in mind a little more as well. Or maybe we realize we're more like the audience than we thought or something. I don't know. I think in recent years, and since this album came out, just nothing but good vibes. I've always been very introverted and in my own head a lot. I kind of learned early on in music how to basically play through entire songs or compositions in my head without my instrument, because I couldn't always have my guitar or have my band, so I would run through things in time in my head. We were very cerebral, and we had some interactions with audiences on the road that weren't the most pleasant. People sometimes come out and are expecting a certain thing, and when they're presented with something else that's kind of crazy and maybe not what they wanted, they throw a bagel at you and it bounces off and hits the drummer, and then you go outside and try to talk to them and they get scared and walk away. But that was just something that happened.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Somewhere in Connecticut. I was holding my guitar kind of like an axe, so I think that might have intimidated them. Is Asclepius. There's been a lot of changes over the years. We've always gravitated towards kind of themes from Greek and classical mythology, with Hephaestus being the god of blacksmithing, and Poetry of Fire after that is actually about Prometheus, who stole the fire from the gods. Poem of Fire is a kind of piece by Scriabin that we took some music from. So there's always been these classical influences, and outside of music, outside of obvious hardcore or metal influences, we like to translate things into those, into that language, the language of the riff or language of hardcore or metal. Because it is, you know, you have these things like the blues, and once you understand it, you can kind of just let it flow. So the Greek influence is probably more with the title, of course, and we were talking about his snake, and that led to Ouroboros, which is the first track on the album, is Healing the Ouroboros, which is endless kind of cycle of the snake eating its own tail. This great band, Earth, had a track that I've always loved called Ouroboros is Broken, and they ended up doing a couple versions of it. They did a very early version, and then later they created a different version that it was almost like if you tried to remember what the song was from a dream and then just started playing it. So not the same chords or same riff exactly, but very similar. But that always kind of stuck with me. And so we try to make all these songs on these records living entities in a way. We play them different every time. There's certain set parts, of course, that we're always hitting. And then, but there's certain cues to go into kind of more free sections. And the improvising on it is more, you know, kind of jamming maybe in that psychedelic vein of guitar solos with this stuff, and just feeding off of each other and letting it flow and rock out. the other Greek influences, there's a old Rembetika style of Greek song, strange scales you wouldn't hear in the U.S. We're like, well, you know, what if we just made that heavier and heavier? And these songs were typically about tuberculosis and hashish and sorrow and all the kind of dark prostitution and things like that. So and of course we didn't want to just make a song about that. I had this idea of making a song about the Black Dahlia and what happened around that, but then I started to examine it from kind of a different view. If you don't know, this young starlet was killed in Hollywood, you know, back in the early days of Hollywood, and they never caught the person who did it. And I started, I don't know, kind of examining how maybe she must have felt, and came across some of this T.S. Eliot stuff, a poem about, it's almost a meditation, letting go, letting, you know, giving yourself over to whatever is going to happen. Don't try to fight these kind of things. So within that, there's terrible conflict, of course. And so that's kind of where that song was born. And it's pretty epic, I would say. But in the end, I always, you know, pictured the Dahlia riding off on a firebird across the sky. With those two ideas, it was the idea of kind of the firebird, the phoenix rising from the ashes, as well as the endless cycles of the Ouroboros, and Asclepius being rumored to, you know, resurrect the dead, and the snake whispered to him how to do that, the snake that's wrapped around his staff. If you've seen the staff of Heraclitus, that's Asclepius. There's something about myth that I feel the unconscious of everyone, and kind of the collective unconscious, those ideas just resonate, and there must be something passed down almost through generations that gives those particular stories more power. I've been attracted to myth within the riff, within the music. Riffing is almost like variations on a theme in itself, and we're all about variations on a theme, so usually that's how the music starts, and then it's fun to explore those different themes and different ways to do it. And so we strive not to use old formulas, really, but to maybe use old myths instead, because the way we are enacting our variations is a lot different than probably anybody else would approach it. Each of us are themes on a variation as well. About to hear a couple sample or teaser type thingamajiggies from the new record, Asclepius. And there's basically two long form tracks. Each one is half the record. They're about 18 minutes each, so We'll just give you a little sample of each. First song, Healing the Ouroboros. Second song is Dahlia Rides the Firebird. We're definitely looking back as well to Hephaestus. We're gonna remaster that, remix it. I found the old tapes for that, right at the 30 mark from when it was released. I think we're going to try to have this new packaging for it, kind of make it sound the way we wanted to. We did record some more tunes around that, the time this record was, Asclepius was recorded, so we're going to get those ready as well. I'd expect a steady outpouring from Iceburn for a little bit here.
Tickets are now available for Slug Mag's Brewstillery on July 10th from 2 to 7 p.m. Celebrate Utah's breweries and distilleries with Slug by sampling local beer and spirits. Featuring local food trucks, local artisans, local music, and a gaming area, this all-ages event has something for everyone to enjoy. Get your tickets now on slugmag.com. Craft Lake City's annual DIY Fest is happening August 13th, 14th, and 15th. Don't miss your chance to attend Utah's largest local-centric three-day arts festival. Tickets available at craftlakecity.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.